Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, NBA, the Stanley Cup playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Hello and welcome to the Pirates Fan Forum here on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. What is that I hear? What's going on? I mean, I got a Steelers hat on.
Gary,
People
thought this was a Pirates podcast. Did you check your calendars?
It's going to be a Pirates podcast. It is. But I'm just not going to get into it. It's not a little celebration. Yes.
Now, you didn't sing, so that's a bonus at this point. So
we're back. Yeah. We're back.
Well, Christmas is over.
And I don't care how bad they look. I'm happy to be in the playoffs, man. I'm so excited. Great equalizer of weather and everything we're going to get to watch too. Man, it's going to be fun. And I just was not going to let a Pittsburgh recorded show go by without talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers in their first playoff game this year.
No, listen, this town is always jumping when the Steelers are in the playoffs. It's really cool. Maybe someday we'll get to do that with the Pirates again too.
Talk about the Pirates. We're going to jump right into it. First, I got to introduce this Barry White sounding mofo here, Jim Stamm. He's sick. He caught whatever James Littleton had, even though he didn't go anywhere near him.
Yeah, he's sick. This is probably a parting gift from Pirates Fest. I'm hitting about 101 on the jugs gun / thermometer right now, and I'll do my best to help you guys out today. But Sean, good news, you get to do some heavy lifting today, brother.
There's the second intro. Back to the show, good friend of ours, Sean Conley. It's been too long, my friend, from the great state of Texas. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. Like you said, Steelers are in the playoffs. You can't get any better than that.
No, we can't. And you're probably going to get to watch Dallas bow out way too early again. Because Dak's just not good enough. What a shame. What a shame it's going to be. And it would be a real shame if the wind was so strong that poor Mr. Allen couldn't throw the football the right way. Man, that would stink. I sure would hate to win that way.
Yeah, like it matters. I don't care if it's 2-0.
I don't either, brother. Let's go all safeties. Let's start out with a conversation that I think is kind of going to be fun, because there's really nothing negative about it. Pirates agreed to terms with every single one of their arbitration eligible players. We'll go through the list. We'll finish with the two and really important ones. But Olivares, new to the team, $1.35 million, a little bit under what his estimation was, which those estimates are nothing more than estimates to begin with. So really, who knows what the teams had in mind to begin with. Connor Joe, $2.125 million. That's actually a little more than his estimate was. JT Brubaker, we heard about the other day, a little bit under. That makes total sense. Baruchy was a long time ago. And then we got David Bednar, 4.5, and Mitch Keller, 5.4, which was under his 6. So they came in under on a lot of guys. First thing I got asked about was, does this mean that they can't extend Mitch Keller? No, they could just tear this up tomorrow if they want to. So it shouldn't change anything there. Good news is I mean, I guess at least for this cycle, you can say they didn't cheap out on any of them, but they wouldn't have been here to have an option if they did. But Sean, anything there surprising to you at all? Or do you just kind of wish that they would get to the extensions and quit messing around with arbitration?
Definitely wish they would get to the extensions. You know, you see what other teams are doing, especially what our friends in Chicago have done here today or yesterday with the Japanese player. And, you know, 5.6 sounds nice for Mitch. 80 million over five sounds a lot better. So,
yeah,
hopefully they get that done.
I would agree. It feels like that sort of thing has to be around the corner. This is step one, and I guess it's good that we avoided drama, Jim, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I actually really enjoy this aspect of things, because you see guys get some money that, let's be honest, you know, they haven't hit the big time yet as far as their contracts go. And, you know, health is fleeting and can disappear at any second. So seeing David Bednar, the fellow Yinzer, get paid and, you know that he could be at least okay if something bad happens. Connor Joe, good, real good guy, good teammate. I like seeing guys at least get to this point, because it means that, you know, as far as their futures go, they have something to fall back on. So the personal side of it.
I think it's funny here. Daniel, he goes, according to MLB, we're winning the World Series in 2029. I don't know if you saw that MLB put out that 10-year prediction of the World Series matchups and who's going to win what. And then the Pirates win it in 2029. It's funny. We just read that whole arbitration list, and not a single one of them would be under team control by 2029 unless they were extended. So it's like, yeah, that's great that we had this arbitration, but man, that puts it in perspective about how far away all this really is, right?
Definitely. Yeah. You have, I mean, like that, it's almost silly to project that far into the future, but
it is. I think it was intended to be silly. So you know, it's not the same as, Nostradamus Cody saying it, you know, right now about somebody that,
he's filling out his
sign 14 right now or something, right?
He's filling out his 2029 starting lineup right now.
Yeah.
That will
Douglas
be,
Smith says Nostradamus ain't good with baseball. And he's right. He's right. So Wilbert Matthews here says that's a bargain all day for Connor Joe. $2.125 million. I guess, depending on what they do with them. I would say for 2.125, he's certainly not a guy that you're just going to option AAA. Not this team anyway. You know, so I guess in a way, Jim, that kind of salary maybe kind of locks him in a little bit more than maybe we want to be.
Yeah. Look, I went from dismissing Connor Joe at the beginning of last year to actually kind of really appreciating what he brought to the team last year. So, and underestimating what he can do. I actually think that, if you play him a little bit more situationally, you might see even something better than that from a production standpoint, just because let's be honest, he played a lot and probably too much in certain circumstances and situations. So
it's an interesting conversation, because in order for him to play, you know, we talk about upgrade opportunities, right? So an upgrade opportunity is first base. You know, we've talked about like having somebody better there than Rowdy Tellez or Connor Joe. You know, between the two of them, they're making a little over $5 million, right? So I could argue that that position still needs upgraded. And if it did, it would probably cost Connor Joe some at-bats, I would think, because I don't see him getting them in the outfield all that often.
Yeah, I don't know if they've got a plan for him to just be kind of like, you know, super utility type guy, infield, outfield, pinch hitting, situational. I could buy him in that role.
Right. Last thing I'll touch on here, because we talked about extensions a little bit, and Keller's the obvious one there. There is a percentage of the base that wants to see David Bednar. I can see that. I wonder if that's something that that a team like this should consider doing. If he's already at 4.5, you figure another year like that, which would already be 3 for a closer, which, Jim, you know, is a stretch. You know how long that you think that's going to go on, right?
Yeah.
What do you do? He's so borderline. He's 30, right? So, I mean, like, what do you do, Sean? I mean, do you extend David Bednar? Or is this city betrayed if you don't? I don't know he can be your closer through this whole thing.
It's a tough call for Bednar just because of how he wears out as the season goes on. He starts off great, and he starts petering out as you go. And just kind of alluding to what we might be talking to a little bit later, you know, later on in the year is where you might need him. So that's I would say that you would want to see a little bit more of a commitment from him, not so much on the work side, but on the body side. It's like take care of his body a little bit more, make sure that you know, he's getting enough rest, make sure that he's not downing so many icy lights, that kind of thing.
Jim, I can't subscribe.
But I didn't say icy light mango, so still do those.
But Jim, your yins are supreme. I know that David Bednar leaving would rip insidey parts of you apart, and you would struggle to get through pretending that it was okay, even if it was the right move. What should they do, though? I mean, for real, is this a guy that you maybe throw a couple years at him, hope he'll take a reasonable deal because he's probably not going to be the closer? Because if I have a hot take, and I do, I bet Carmen Majinski is a better closer this year than David Bednar if we wanted to.
Do you want to? There's more here. So do you want to take a quick break and we can jump back into it? Or do you want to?
We probably should, Jim. Thanks for being more responsible than me. Let's take a quick break.
DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
We're back to the Pirates Fan Forum here on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. And I ran long in the first segment, but that's why you have a good partner, because he pulls you back from the cliff, right? And so we took our ad break when we had to. Before we get into our conversation, let's read a couple comments that came in. Ian says, can't extend Bednar, injuries, and can't pay relief pitchers with so many other holes. I would agree. I would hope that some of those holes kind of get closed up as well around him. But I do think that you're looking at 4.5 already. Boy, it'd be a lot for me to think they're going to give him in the neighborhood of 10, 11 at some point, you would think, during that extension, right? That scares me a lot.
This is where it gets awkward, right? For the Pirates and fans. And
not like I want to cheap the guy.
No,
I legitimately don't know, like, that I think he's going to be an elite closer for the next 4 years, even.
Right.
That's what scares me about an extension, because I've already got him for 2. You know?
Yeah. I mean, let me just look at their history and where they choose to spend any money. And I just can't see them deciding that this one is worth it to take it on the chin, because someone will give him a really good deal. Someone will overpay him, and I hope he gets overpaid. When I say overpaid, I mean more than I think he'll be capable of providing for that contract. Do you understand? Like,
yeah, I do.
Not necessarily doesn't deserve it. I don't see that being with the Pirates, and it's probably you know, one of the few times where I could say, you know, I think it makes the most sense. So
it sucks, Sean, because like, you know, the player doesn't want it. You know, the team doesn't want it, but he's going to have serviceable years left. The only way this is a marriage that lasts is if he is like a Kent Tekulve, who just is going to take whatever they give him and stay. And just because he wants to be here and he'll fill whatever role they want. And man, just because I care about the kid, go get your money, man. And I don't think this team can do it.
Yeah.
The Pirates are on a team that can pay $10 million for a middle reliever. That's just a simple fact.
Yeah. It's going to be a tough conversation we're all going to be having probably in another year or two. Because
And here's the last thing I'll say on it. I just think that, like, especially the kind of pitcher that David Bednar is when it's got to be power pitching, right? Like that's how he's gonna eat. And you know, there are other guys that might be able to get away with that if that starts to subside, and maybe he'll do that. But he doesn't seem like the kind to me that I think he is what he is, and that's what he will be while he's really effective.
Like, I got to read this comment from Graves here. She said it before, trade Bednar now. He hasn't addressed his conditioning issues. I just don't trust him to hold up long term. Not asking for him to go on a Will Crow diet, but get in shape. Okay. I don't even know if he's really like got problems with that. That's just my assumption. I don't know. He looked okay to me at Pirate Fest, I think, but he looked actually a little bit trim. But I do think that what she says about trading him now, I think here's the problem. I don't think this team has enough credibility built up with this fan base to do that. And here's why I think they might get baited into an extension, whether it's right or wrong. Because I don't think they can handle trading this guy before. Like right now, and they need to put some wins on paper before they're able to get away with it. So I think they're going to have to place at least a small bet of a year or two, whether we think it's smart or not, whether it is smart or not.
Well, we just saw this play out with the Brewers, did we not? You know, when they decided to move Hader.
Yep.
And I can tell you that wasn't well received. It wasn't well received in their clubhouse, I'm quite sure. And the Brewers have more more leeway than the Pirates are held. So are the Pirates dumb enough to do something that they probably shouldn't do for the optics of it?
Of course they are. They're always dumb enough to do something like that. I would also say, Sean, I don't believe Josh Hader was from Milwaukee. So I don't think that, you know, he was born and bred doing the Laverne and Shirley dance down the sidewalk. Maybe it's a little bit different.
But he was there for their good years, too. So how many NL Central titles did he win with them?
True.
How many games did you see Hader close out? You can see the attitude he had in San Diego as well, like not going out for that fourth out. So,
meanwhile, Bednar would pitch 19 days in a row if you let him.
No, exactly. So, I think
it's an interesting conversation, and I think that the reason that we struggle so much with this conversation is because of the hometown thing. If it wasn't for that, I think we could have a much more pragmatic conversation, but. The reason that we worry about pitching so much maybe is because of this report that J.J. Cooper did for Baseball America. My goodness.
Fill people in on that.
Nothing that we haven't seen, you know, like if you really think about it, we've watched it for a long time. But the Pirates are just one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball at developing pitching. They're the fifth worst This is since 2012. The fifth worst in innings pitched and the sixth worst in runs against per nine.
Woof.
Dead last in FIP. They've had 21 picks within the top 50 since 2012. And it's important to note when you're looking at this study, and it's pretty extensive, he's not just talking about guys that made it to Pittsburgh. He's talking about guys that made it anywhere. You know, he's given organizations wins for guys that took off somewhere else. You know, it's not right. Like it has to be here. The Pirates just don't have any. It's pretty sad. He gives him Mitch Keller. He's worried about Quinn Priester, and he's still talking about Shane Boz. Like,
yeah,
pretty brutal, right? So how do you get around that? Because there's an awful lot that the Pirates do wrong with economics. We all know that. But there's even more that they do wrong, I think, away from economics. This is the part of the game, Sean, where they can keep up with the Yankees and Dodgers and everybody else. Why aren't they?
Well, I think it's where they were putting their money too. I think they had a large commitment in the international side. So this study just looks at who they drafted, not the international side. So I think they had a little more success there, but at the same time, it is extremely brutal. And I look at things that happened last year with Contreras. I think these issues are still going on. I think that they don't have the same tools that other teams have, like that fancy pitching machine. They have one in Florida. Why not spend $1 million or whatever it is, $200,000, and put it in Pittsburgh, put it at PNC Park. So this way you have all your pitchers going through that and you have all that baseline data. So if something starts happening, let's go ahead and start making those adjustments as we go.
Get your lab closer to home, basically.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, and this way, not only are you more familiar with the player, they're more familiar with the equipment and what you're trying to accomplish. You're trying to build those relationships as well.
Well, there's got to be something there, Jim, because, I mean, 2012 is not, you know, it's a cherry-picked date, but it's been bad longer than that. If they went back further, it's not like the Pirates are moving up this board.
Well, you know, Gary, that's exactly where I was going to go, is what I do like about this is, because there's not much to like, but what I do like about it is it spans across regimes. So we're not talking about just one GM here. You know, we could get to two and three, and I'd even say, like, I don't know that they've ever been good at developing pitching, you know, throughout their history, if you want to stick at least in modern history. You know, I'm not an expert historian. The Pirates been around a long time, but here's my big question: a lot of people are real hung up on development, and I get that, but you got to pick the right guys first. And then you can develop those guys.
Right.
So, like, you know, we could talk about development all day.
That's what's key about this thing, because there's two plausibilities here from the data that J.J. Cooper gathers here. Either the Pirates are just that bad at selecting players. You know, they're just talent is not developable because it's not translating when it goes to other places either. That's what this study shows.
That's what made me think of it, by the way.
Okay. So if that's the case, that's one option. The other option is they're screwing them up so bad nobody can fix them. Now, like, which one is it? In all sincerity. And again, I'm not a hater, you know that. But I don't see pitchers come through this system clean. And that has got to change. I actually thought that's why they brought in Dewey Robinson to start changing the way that functioned and everything, right? So we should be starting to get some wins. And to be fair, we just got Carmen Majinski flew through the system. But I mean, I have that on pretty good authority. They kind of just stood back and got out of his way. So,
like, yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know what to make of that. And you kind of hope that's what Skeens is. And I'll take the free points, Sean, if he gives them points for developing him or something. But I hope he doesn't need it.
I mean, I think the other worrying issue would be is if they did include 2011, because who was their first overall draft pick in 2011? Let me check my notes here. Some guy named Cole. So he didn't exactly slide through the system super fast after being in college. And it took going to the Houston to really get him going. He wasn't as bad as people make him out to be in Pittsburgh, but he wasn't great yet.
Yeah, he was a young pitcher. I mean, I mean, when he went off, though, we would have gotten credit for everything he's done in his career, is the point. Mm-hmm. So that would have been a developmental win on this scale, what he was studying here. So,
right.
Yeah. But, I guess that's
good. Yes, but year, it took
one him year to we Houston. Looked better.
not for sure, but what I'm saying is it took him to go into Houston and correct a couple of mechanical issues to turn into the Garrett Cole that we know and hate now.
Yeah, and actually getting out of his way too. He wanted to throw high fastballs. They wanted him to throw sinkers.
Yeah. So and I think that's a lot of the things too. So you have to be honest with yourself and understand who you're drafting. What are their strengths? Like, you don't always have to sit there and say, okay, well, I'm good at teaching sinker balls and this guy's going to throw a sinker ball no matter what. Like, you have to play to their strengths. That's what you have to understand when you're drafting somebody. You're scouting department has to be in sync with your coaching department. And if you can't develop players, then if you can't develop that guy, then don't draft them. Pick somebody else.
Yeah. The story is not rocket science.
And
the story is old as time, Jim.
Yeah. And, you know, the fatal flaw in all this is for the Pirates, they got to develop pitching. They have to. Like, you know, we're already seeing, you know, what starting pitching goes for, and that's only going to go up in price as the legitimate starter market continues to diminish year to year because of how teams are using these guys. So, you know, the wins are just few and far between, and it spans regimes for all the people that want to defend certain GMs. I don't see it.
It's funny you bring that up, because that was going to be my final point here on this segment before we took a break. Was I honest to God don't understand how it follows regimes. how do people not come in and just clean house? That would be the first thing I would do.
It's almost kind of weird. It's like the Cleveland Browns changing coaches and quarterbacks every year, no matter what, for how many decades. They just stunk out loud. It did not. How do you get that sickness out of a building? I don't know.
That said, I'm not going to say their development system is stupid and they're stupid for who they hired, because they just hired our buddy Scott Siebel to be a hitting instructor in the system. So they did one thing right.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess,
you know, congratulations to Scott, by the way.
Blind squirrel and nut and everything, but congrats to you, sir. Let's take another quick break and come back here. Let's wrap up with some comments from Derek Shelton and Andrew McCutcheon that had Jim and I talking quite a bit.
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
Welcome back to the Pirates Fan Forum here on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. Canyon, glad you made it to the podcast too, my friend. And the queen has checked in. She just doesn't want us to overwork Mr. Bednar. And I think there is something to that. They probably should mix up that back end a little bit more to keep him fresh.
Yes.
I thought she was talking about June.
Yeah, she was, but we'll keep it. We'll keep it focused. Well, but yes,
it's my love for Jim that is having me accelerate some of these topics through for us. We're going to get this show done in record time today, which is under an hour, right?
Yes. But the Queen's point, Bednar, you have to almost save him from himself. He's that kind of pitcher.
She's right. So let's read the comments. Let's start with Mr. Shelton. Our goal is to play playoff games in October, whether that's winning the Central, which is definitely the goal, or being a playoff caliber team. That's something we are striving for, Shelton said. I will be very clear in our first message during spring training in Bradenton in about a month that we should be thinking about that every day. I guarantee that every member of our staff and every player will have that goal on their mind going into the 2024 season. Do you want to stop there, or do you want me to read Kutch's before we start talking, Jim?
No, go ahead. Let's give everybody the full picture of kind of what I put out there about some comments.
Okay. And then Andrew McCutcheon, he says, this is a good ball club. And that's what I saw when I was just sitting back watching. I'm like, man, this is why I'm here. This is why I came back. This is what I see. Now imagine Kutch saying it, because it sounds a lot more inspiring, I'm sure, when he says it, as opposed to me, because he has a way of making you feel like, yes, absolutely, I will run through that wall, sir.
Right.
Now, Jim, I'm not going to paraphrase what you said, because you're capable, I think, unless the fever's taken over. So go ahead.
Yeah, I'm semi-capable right now. So basically, I'll just, this is what I said, okay? And so I want people to pay attention to the specific wording I used, because I think that like it got glossed over a little bit. And maybe that's part of the problem, just in general. I said, Shelton in the first comment per Parado, Kutch in the last two per Krause. So that's where those comments came from. I said, look, I'm all for optimism from players and coaches. I said that because I know that that's how they talk, right? He said, although Sherrington has chimed in similarly as well of late. But this is wild talk as we sit here today. It just is.
Right. And we started bantering about it back and forth. Because not just us either. No, there's a lot of people involved. But I was basically just wondering how we're supposed to classify whether it's completely nuts or not. Because they're the ones that see it, basically, right? They're the ones that they should know their players better than anyone else does. Shelton said that direct quote at Pirates Fest too. They should know their players better than anyone else. They're going to show us whether they're crazy or not. I certainly don't see that when I look at this roster.
Well, I think it's changed for me. Like, some of it's a little more effusive, the wording, than it had been in the past. And all I'm saying is that when I see that change or hear that change in tone, I would like to be more reassured when I look down and take stock of things. Now, I say that as we sit here today, and maybe that's the issue, is that we can look, we don't have any idea. There's so many free agents available and so much can happen. I mean, we're sitting in mid-January. And so maybe that's part of the problem. I'm just saying, like, as we sit here today, I would like to feel better about it than what I'm seeing.
Sean, what did you think of those comments before I fill your head with what you should feel? Be thinking.
No worries. I feel like they have a lot of confidence in themselves. But I also don't see how they're going to fill the holes with what they have right now. Yeah, they should know everybody. Like, they should know their players better than everybody else. But do you have any confidence that they know that? Have they shown you any kind of ability to develop their AAA pitchers into major league talent over the course of a year? Do you think Quinn Priester is going to actually take that big step forward into being a number three or a number two starter instead of a back end starter? I don't see that. I don't see them opening the pocketbook to get those to get just pitching. And we're not even talking about anything like first base. Yeah, so
I'll settle for big league pitcher before I worry about where he slots in. But I hear you, brother. I do.
And Jim likes to say a lot of times, like, you have to, like, you pay for certainty. You pay for information too. That's the biggest thing. And they're not paying for anything right now. And I'm not a big, oh, hey, you got to open the pocketbook, have the best and the highest payroll in the NL Central. But you look at what the Reds are doing. You look at what the Cardinals are doing. They're shoring up their weaknesses. They're increasing their depth. Like, the Pirates aren't. It's just, where are they getting that certainty from? Where are they getting that confidence?
I think that was part of the conversation we had, Jim, was maybe that certainty is coming from they know something we don't. Not even just about the players, but maybe like things they're trying to do. I guess what I'm saying is I didn't see any players that had any kind of boo-boo face about what might be coming or might not be coming. They all felt pretty positive to me. You're right. There was a tone difference. I'm not sure I understand why they have that tone difference. I can't look at the roster and feel it. So to me, it's all that. And I think what maybe the best way I can put it as far as the way I feel about this, because I actually think we probably agree, Jim. I really, when I circle all the way back around on this, I think we probably agree. Because here's where the way I would put it. I hope that they are at least good enough stewards of this team and care enough about this fan base that they would know that we're too hurt and desperate and beaten to throw something out there like that cavalierly, like getting the hopes of people up. Like, right. I wouldn't do that. Like, don't throw out things like you're going to truly compete for this division if you really don't think so. That's why I'd like to think it's genuine, because the alternative to me is that they're misleading people that really we're beaten at this point. You know what I mean? Like,
right. And you know, some people's responses were, well, players are always, you know, real positive. Okay. I know that, but this was different. And I included Kutch because he knows what it takes. Okay. Yeah. This isn't Ben Gamel. No offense to Ben Gamel, saying they feel like they can surprise people. Like, this was more than that. And from a guy that knows what that should look like.
More than that. And we heard at Pirates Fest, because we wanted to circle back to a little bit of Pirates Fest. First, we were happy they took questions, right?
We should acknowledge that, Gary.
Yeah, they took questions. We didn't think they would. We busted their balls a little bit for that last week. Glad they took questions. Good for them. Some of them were hard. And some of the ones they took were hard. Problem is, you can't control the answer. And I think what people learned probably the most at that thing is maybe it's not the journalists not asking the tough questions. Maybe it's just people really, really good at not answering tough questions, but sounding like they are. That's all you're going to get out of this sort of thing. So, I mean, I was glad they took the questions. That's a good kind of accountability. And they did give us some nuggets and everything. But that's all it was. The event was pretty cool, though. Jim, what did you think? Your kid liked it, right?
Yeah, he had a blast. He got to play Xbox Madden football with Brian Reynolds. He almost hit a home run off Mitch Keller.
And I've been telling the story as he hit the home run. Because I'm an awesome uncle, but I don't know what you are. I mean, like, I guess you're his dad or something, but I would just be pumping it up. That's all.
Well, listen, you know, he saw one pitch from Mitch Keller and he just crushed it. And then Mitch Keller, because Ben's not that old. And so, like, there was a lot of kids older than him. And he was like, he went, nice swing. And so dad was really, really happy about that. So, but yeah, anyways, Pirate Fest was fun. And I went there for one reason, to let him have a good time. And man, it was packed. I will say this, if people stuck it out, man, things really thinned out as the day went on because of like the weather, and the Steeler game was that day. And there were some real opportunities then to kind of like catch up on some things that you might have missed. So just FYI right. for future people that might want to go.
Yeah, but it was a good time. And Sean, I understand why you didn't make it up. But I figured I'd talk about it real quick because we did bust their balls a little bit last week, and I just wanted to make sure we did it.
Gary, can I say one other thing about what we're talking about? Because I don't know if we're going to be moving on or not. But the only other thing I wanted to say about this is you know, if people are looking at the record and they want to say like, well, yeah, I mean, can they make another 10 game jump? Yeah. But there were even comments from Sherrington said like, we want to win more than that coming up here now. And so. And what I would say is like, again, when you're looking at, okay, people are like to use the Diamondbacks right now. Okay. They won 84 games last year, I think, or was it 86? Anyways, the fever's taking over at this point, but the big thing about it is okay. Well, like, did that look like an 84 win team to you in the playoffs? No, they had some talent, man. I would caution just about going off record. Yeah, could that get you in? I guess, but
well, let's be real, Sean. We're talking about. There's a balance between the team telling us that they want to win more and us not seeing what we think would win more. Let's do a thought experiment, right? You know, I love doing those. So, Sean, let's say they shock the world. They go out. They sign Blake Snell. They're like, listen, it's been burning in the background this whole time. We were going to get Blake Snell. That's been the goal all along. And we've got him for 3 years. And here he is. And who cares what he's making? Because we're just going out and getting awesome guys, right? And then they go out and they go, okay, let's get Rhys Hoskins. Let's put Rhys Hoskins at first base. Let's do it right now. Why not? Come on down. And while we're at it, let's get Whit Merrifield. Let's shore that up. And let's get that dude from Michael A. What's his name? I forget his name from the Royals last year. Taylor. Let's get Michael A. Taylor too. Okay, let's shore all this up. Then all these kids get pushed down to AAA. No big deal, right? But you're still going to have places where you have to have kids play. Like O'Neill Cruz is still going to have to play shortstop. It's still a question mark. You're still going to have questions about Jack Sawinski. You're still going to have questions about Henry Davis behind the dish. You still don't have that qualified catcher yet, right? Your staff is still just Blake Snell, who goes five innings every 5 days. Mitch Keller, a couple guys that you had questions about, and a rookie, right? So do you look at that and go, yeah, division? I don't. So my point is they could add and add and add. I'm not going to look at it and go division. I don't see it because there's too many questions no matter what that they have to play to me.
I look at it like this too. Like what happens when Snell gets hurt? What happens if Davis gets hurt? You have absolutely zero depth. And those are the kinds of things you need to keep going. You look at the Rangers last year. Who did they sign? Who was their big signee for the offseason? DeGrom. Who got hurt? DeGrom. And they still go all the way. I think you just have to have so many layers whenever you're building a staff, whenever you're building a team, that you have to have all that going for you. And, yeah, I would say you can come out and surprise them. You know who was surprised last year? Everybody when the Pirates went 20-8 in April, right?
Right.
Who was throwing cold water on it? Sherrington. His spreadsheet said, like, well, we're projected not to be here, so we're not going to add anything. We're not going to do anything. And I'm not saying that they aren't genuine. I just want to see what's on that spreadsheet that gives them that confidence, because it's very hard looking at it from the outside in to see where he's getting that from.
Well, and
Jim, if I look at the whole roster with a positive spin, I can say it.
But
I'm just not built that way. so I can't do it.
You have to look at who you're going to bring in to fill those injuries, because they're going to happen. That's what happens. It's professional sports. It's life.
And, go ahead, Jim. No, our buddy Wilbert makes a comment. Good to see Wilbert, and thanks for stopping by. And he said three playoff teams had 100 lost seasons in the last 3 years. It does happen. It can happen. I think that's what he meant. Yeah, absolutely. But like what I would, again, going back to just like not getting caught up on numbers on pieces of paper about standings and games won and lost. Like when you look at the rosters of those teams, like it's got to be there. That can't be the like, there's got to be a lot of talent there to do that. And so I would just encourage people to like, if you're going to pick out examples, that's fine. That's a comparison to do, but then like really compare them and then see if they match up. That's all I would say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, larger point for me is, I guess I don't think they can get to a point where I would feel that way. Just don't. Not without just a completely running over the kids. Cause I would put Henry in AAA. I'd go and get a good catcher. You know, if I wanted to say I'm trying to win the division. And I'd go much more buck nuts with starting pitching than they already have. I'd have Perez borderline bullpen by the time I was done. So like, I'm just saying, like, if I wouldn't want to sit back and say I felt confident about it, there's a long way for me to go. So when they say they're confident, yeah, I have the same questions you do, Jim. I leave a little room for, they probably know there's some more stuff coming. They probably haven't talked about it.
That's the biggest thing of this, right? It really is. It's a conversation we can certainly revisit, and we probably should once this is all said and done, and spring training is here, and we'll see where they are at.
Let's talk about a couple quick rumors here before we go, because Canyon has asked, "What do you guys think about the Pirates trying to get Imanaga?" I mean, I heard they were interested. But I think they're interested in a lot of things that they don't ever really get serious about. They probably could have done what the Cubs did. I wouldn't even be surprised if they offered what the Cubs did. But I doubt they've got into playing the options game that the Cubs did. That's the thing. The Cubs went really aggressive with options, which is, I'm sure, what Imanaga wanted. Pirates are not comfortable with that. I think they've shown you that even with their own extensions. I don't think they're going to do it with somebody from another country that you're already taking a bet on. Let's not forget like that Japan and KBO aren't better than AA, AAA here. You know, I think it's a risk every time you do it. I already think it's a little crazy how much some of these guys are making. And Yariel Rodriguez is the other guy you bring up. Wilbert brings him up. I heard they're into it. I don't know. I don't think he's a starter, to be honest. If you're not a starter in the KBO, you're not going to start here. So I don't expect that to magically change.
Yeah, to me, Yariel is somebody that, for as risk averse as the Pirates are, if they were actually going to spend that type of money, they would want more of a certainty that that's what they were going to get out of it.
To me he's a luxury
for a team that's willing to spend the money.
Daniel says at least we're starting to hear that they were interested on players. Daniel, we hear that they're interested on players a lot more than it gets reported. It's just like, it just doesn't matter. Like, it's not something to be reported, really. It's most of the time when you do hear it, it's just the agent. Like, even I just read today, like, Joey Votto, Rob Beer Temple came out and he says, three teams are interested in Joey Votto. And then Joey Votto retweets it and goes, four now, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's that kind of joke at this point. It's really just a matter of somebody called and said Joey's name, you know, or somebody called to figure out, hey, would Joey take league minimum? Just wondering. You know what I mean? Like,
it's very much grain of salt type stuff.
Yeah. So
when you're,
I don't find it to be a big deal when things are, you know, when interest is reported all that much. Now, if offers are reported, okay, then I start getting interested. But the only other offer that we heard rumored on Imanaga was double. Ain't no way that was the Pirates. I'm sorry. Come on now. Come on now. Let's let's pull our heads out of the sand at least a little. Right? Like that ain't happened. So hey, we're gonna end the show a little bit earlier today out of the kindness of my heart for Jim, because I know he's dealing with it. And
yeah, yeah. And I appreciate everybody going through my snorts and sniffs. So
Sean here was a trooper, and I also want to make sure that Jim gets to make it to his son's premiere too. So, but yes. Sean, any parting words from you, man? It was good having you back around, man.
No, it's great to be back. So, as you say, you can find me at Sean P. Conley on the X or the Twitter machine, whatever you want to call it. You can at me and tell me I'm wrong all you want. I'll probably agree with you. And I guess just one thing, one last parting shot is I just hope that Sherrington's right. Hope Shelton's right. McCutcheon's usually right. So if they are, it's going to be a fun season. So I am looking forward to that.
It'd be great. That would be one of the most exciting stories that we'd get to cover in this city for a long time. So I can't wait to watch it.
And go follow Sean. You know, I'm kind of a stickler on social media about people that don't behave on there and aren't good contributors to it. And Sean's smart. He knows what he's talking about. He'll engage with you. So I want to call attention to that when people are like that. So
damn straight. Sean's good people. So definitely give him a follow. And then I'm going to selfishly plug myself, Jim. I never do this, you know?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Please. We've done this show for a long time and I barely ever talk about it, but most of, you know, I write a lot. I write a lot about the Pirates show. We do once a week. I probably write 3-4 times a week. So I've just rebranded my website. It's steelcitypirates.com. You can go there. I've got other writers. Michael from 412 Double Play Podcast is there. Ethan from Locked On Pirates is there. I'm trying to collect a bunch of local podcasters so we have a place to write and talk at the same time. And it's like one hub where you can come and see all of our podcasts all put together too. So it's a good place. Check it out and hope you like it. And without further ado,
I'm going to throw something in there.
Yeah.
Can I say that Gary's 5 Thoughts at 5 on Mondays. It's a great read. They're very nice, well, man. Thought out. It's 5 things that you should know about the Pirates every week.
Well, that's where the topics for this show come from too. So
the writing
makes the show easier. So yeah, good stuff though. Let's toss it off to Ben for the first time ever on
Go TV. Ben.
I'm go so Ben. Stoked.
Let's go, Buck!
Yeah, buddy.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.